On this episode, it's a joy to have internationally known guitar and artist Christian Adass on today's program. We'll be having conversation and playing his music here on Journey's Fire. Layering traditional kirtan with instantly accessible melodies and modern instrumentation, Christian Adass has been called yoga's rock star. With a remarkably soulful voice that touches the deepest chord in even the most casual listener, Christian Adass, known to his friends, family, and fans as simply KD, has taken the call and response chanting out of yoga centers and into concert halls, becoming a worldwide icon and the best-selling Western chant artist of all time. His album, Live and Under, released in 2012, was nominated for a Grammy in the Best New Age Album category. KD spent the late 60s traveling across the country as a student of Ram Dass, and in August 1970, he finally made the journey to India, which led him to Ram Dass's own beloved guru, Maharaji. Given the name Krishna Das, KD began to chant as part of following the path of Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion, and after 2.5 years with Maharaji, returned to the United States. But alas, 6 months after his return, word came that his guru had died. He took solace in music, finding peace and strength in both his Bhakti Yoga practice as well as in such heroes as Ray Charles, Van Morrison, Steely Dan, and Bruce Springsteen, whom he laughingly calls the Bodhisattva of New Jersey. KD also co-founded Triloka Records, a California-based label specializing in world music, releasing such artists as Jai Uttal, Sarod Virtuoso, Ali Khan, and legendary jazz musician-composer Jackie McLean. In 1994, KD started leading chant at a yoga center in New York City with an ever-growing audience of yoga students that led him to chant with people all around the world. In February 2013, Krishna Das performed at the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles, California, streamed online to millions of viewers. The award-winning film One Track Heart, the story of Krishna Das, has been in over 100 United States cities, over 10 countries worldwide, and is available on DVD everywhere. With the release of his 14th album, Kirtan Wala, One Who Sings Kirtan, KD offers a Western-leaning album, fully embracing his American roots in rock and country, and yet embodying the spirit of deeply devotional Indian chants. The heart of this latest album is still in the names that he's singing. KD says, "This chanting just hits you, and you want to be a part of it. That's the point of this whole thing. That's what cuts through all the stuff. You get lit up. You don't have to know what it means." It's a joy to have him on today's program, and he's joining us from his studio in New York City. Krishna Das, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You know, last week I had Donna DeLore on, and she shared a very touching story about when her dad was declining and he died in her arms. The story that really struck me was during that time, she was playing your music in the background, and there was a particular song that came on when he made his transition. I guess it was a song that you sang with your daughter, Janica.
Yeah, Miracle of Tears.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she said that
that's
helped.
Beautiful.
She said it helped set the tone for such a beautiful moment in that transition. Yeah, yeah. And then all of that inspired her in her latest album. So I was wondering, when I've heard that and having listened to your music over the years, and I love this new album we'll be talking about here soon, your music has a way of taking people to the divine, whatever that looks like for them. It also has a way of inspiring them to want to get up and dance. But I was wondering, has people ever told you that your music heals? Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I get a lot of emails about that, especially broken hearts.
Oh, and there seems to be a lot of those these days.
Yeah, I think most of them are broken.
Yeah, yeah. Kirtan Wala is a new album. By the way, the production on the album, I think, is just beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, David Nichter and my buddy, he was producing, making sure we all stayed where we belonged.
Yeah, yeah. Have you been surprised, and I think you have helped contribute to this, to the immense popularity of kirtan in that whole genre of music?
Have I been surprised?
Yeah.
I'm sure. when I started singing, there was really nobody going around singing, you know, doing kirtan like this. And I started doing it to save my own ass, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I did it. I never expected, not even in my wildest dreams, that I see any of this coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The way people responded, and I just figured I would, you know, travel around a little bit and visit places and sing a little bit.
Yeah.
But never imagined this would happen like this.
Because when you were younger, you were into music, but you were really envisioning more of a rock type of career, correct?
Yeah, sure. I wanted to be, I was a blues singer, basically.
Uh-huh.
Folk singer and a blues singer, and that's what I really liked to do. And then rock and roll came along, and that was good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that would work, but I was really too unhappy and too crazy to imagine to be a rock and roll singer.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't keep it together. I was not a happy camper in those days.
Mm. You met Ram Dass, the author of the best-selling book Be Here Now, in the late 60s when you were, I think, about 20. And not long after Ram Dass, he had a life-transforming visit with Maharishi. And did he say you should go meet my teacher, my guru? Is that why you then went over to India?
No, it was exactly the opposite. Uh-huh. Maharishi had told him not to talk about him. And Ram Dass had no permission to send anybody there or to tell people who he was or where he was. So I just said to him, listen, I'm going. And if I find him, I find him. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to go look for him. I don't know where to go. I had no idea where to go. But me and another couple of guys, we just decided we were going. Or maybe I decided I was going first. And then once Ram Dass, he recognized that we were really serious, so he gave us the name of a devotee to write to in India to kind of hook us up and see what would happen. And one thing led to another, and we got there.
I read somewhere where before you met him, you actually dreamed about your guru. Is that true?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, that was really wild because at some point after I had met Ram Dass, I had this dream where I came in, and I'd only seen one little black and white picture of Maharaj. One or two. And in this dream, I came into the gymnasium of the elementary school I went to, you know, up to sixth grade, where we used to play volleyball and have school plays, you know. And I walked into the gymnasium, and there on the stage was like a small bed, like a platform bed. And on it, Maharaji was sitting. And there was an Indian man standing just behind him, dressed in a white dhoti and a black vest. And I walked into the room, and I went into the middle of the floor of the gym, and I bowed down, and I was talking to him in my mind. I said, please, please, I beg you, let me feel something. I have to feel something, please. You know, I'm just begging. And then in my mind's eye, I saw him get up, walk down the steps at the end of the stage, and walk over to me, and he put his hand on the back of my head. And I began to calm down. And as I calmed down, I felt this bliss start to run through my body. Extraordinary bliss. I had never felt anything like that before. And it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to die. And at that moment, I woke up. And so the thing was this. Then, you know, a couple of years went, maybe 3 years went by, and I was in India. And I was there in the temple with Maharaji. And I came late to the temple one day. And without realizing it, every time we came to the temple, Maharaj was already sitting there. Or he just came out of one room and walked a couple of feet and sat down on his tucket, on the cot, right? And here I came late, and he was walking across the courtyard of the temple by himself, and I just stopped, and I remembered the dream, and he was walking the same way he walked in the dream. He had a very unusual way of walking. It was kind of like a two-year-old bouncing from one leg to the other, you know, like almost like he would lose balance at any moment. It was, and I just stopped, and my mouth was just, you know, my eyes were wide open. I just,
Yeah.
And the next thing I knew, I'm standing right in front of him, and I was holding these apples that I had brought for him, you know. I didn't even offer them to him. I was just so transfixed. And then he just laughed, and he grabbed the apples, and he threw them to some people standing by. And then he just walked in his room and closed the door.
That
was mind-blowing, because there was no doubt about it.
You know,
that was the first time I had seen him walking,
and
it blew my mind. Completely blew my mind.
You stayed in India for 2.5 years.
So he sent me home.
Yeah, he sent you home.
Oh, yeah. I never was going to come home. I had no intention of coming back to the States. When I left for India, I sold everything I had. I gave away everything I had. No intention of coming back.
Hmm. And what was his reason for doing that? What did he say?
He looked at me one day and said, hit me on the head, go back to America. You have attachment there. You have to go. Down. Go. Just like that. What? You know? I couldn't believe it. Oh, it was horrible. So I came back. And then he left the body, and that was very, very hard.
Mm.
We went back for the ceremonies and everything and spent a little time there. And we came back to the States.
You actually had a pretty low point in your life after that time, correct? When he left his body.
It was more like a low plateau.
Yeah, yeah.
wasn't a point. It went on for a long time.
In the documentary movie that was made of your life, One Track Heart, Ram Dass says, most singers sing to the audience. He, meaning you, he wants to sing only to the Maharishi. And the audience listens in to the tremendous love affair. I thought that was one of the most
beautiful
ways to say that.
Maharaj, Ninkaroli Baba is his name. And we call him Maharaj, which means great king, and Ji, which is a suffix of respect. So Maharaji. Maharishi means a great saint, a great rishi. Rishis are the seers, and they kind of run this whole show. So some saints are called Maharishis, but Maharaji was just called Maharaji. And you know, the funny thing was, it's kind of a slang word, too. It can be respectful, or it could also be like, you can call a sweeper Maharaj. You can call anybody Chaiwala Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people address each other that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't even know his name at first, you know.
I want to go to a song, and I want to talk more about that relationship, but also a lot more about this newest album. It's on a new label, your label, and also the funding of it, I think, was unique, that I'm finding a lot of artists do these days. It was very hard to pick out a song. The one I want to play right now for our listeners is Shri Argala Stotram.
Argala.
And really, it's kind of a cover for Foreigners, I Want to Know What Love Is.
It kind of worked out like that, didn't it?
Yeah. How did that work out that way, Katie?
I have no idea. You know? I can't be responsible for my brain, you know? It just happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It just happened.
Okay. It's a joy to have Krishna Dass on today's program. He's a man who the New York Times has called the chant master of American yoga. We're going to go to one of the songs off his great newest album, Kirtan Wala, and then we'll have more conversation at the other end of the song.
Om Namas Chandikai. Om Namas Chandikai. Om Namas Chandikai. Jayanti Mangala Kali Badrakali Kapalini Durga Kshama Shivadratri Swaha Swadhanamostu Te Jayatvam Devi Chamande Jaya Bhutardiharini Jaya Sarvagate Devi Kalaratri Namostute Madhukaitabam Vidravi Vidatri Varade Namaha Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Mahishasura Nirnashi Bhaktanam Sukade Namaha Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Shambhasya Eva Nishambhasya Dhumrakshasya Chama Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Natebhyah Sarvadha Bhaktya Chandike Durita Pahe Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Dehi Sobhagyam Arogyam Dehi Me Paramasukam Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Videhi Devi Kalyanam Videhi Paramam Shriyam Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Himachala Sudana Samstute Parameshwari Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Indrani Pati Sabhavam Pujite Parameshwari Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Devi Prachanda Daradanda Daitya Darpa Vinashini Rupam Dehi Jayam Dehi Yasho Dehi Dvisho Jehi Patni Manorama Dehi Manovritanu Sarani Taranim Durga Samsara Sagarasya Kaloba Rupande Jayande Yasho Dehi Vidusho Jai Rupande Jayande Yasho Yeah, sure.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. Today we're inside the music with Krishna Das, internationally top kirtan artist. And I want to talk more about this album. This was a new label for you, your label, Krishna Das Music. And also, you decided to do this through crowdfunding, which I've noticed a lot of artists are starting to do that lately. Is that for more artistic freedom?
No, it's for money.
Okay.
Well, it all depends, you know. Nobody's really ever told me. I had my own record company many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of jazz, and then we did world music, and then it just died. So no one, it wasn't as if anybody was ever telling me what to do, mm-hmm. because I didn't even know what I was doing. So God forbid they should try to take my freedom away.
Right.
We just started the record label and tried to do this way because there didn't seem to be any benefit for having a major record label behind us. You know, they'll give you an advance to produce the CD, but that has to be paid back through sales.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that everybody's stealing music these days, so there's never enough sales to pay back, so you never get any royalties from your CDs. And for somebody who doesn't do anything else but travel and chant, if no money's coming in, then I can't live. So we asked, you know, we felt there was a big enough community of people who knew me and who've been singing with me for so many years that maybe we could raise some money to do it, you know. And also, it was a way of keeping it in the family. I mean, it doesn't make business sense for a record company to really give you money for a project that's not going to pay them back, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we did, of course, have a couple of companies that might have done that, but just because they like us. But, you know, it just felt like the right thing to do. I was really hesitant about it at first. I really didn't feel comfortable asking people for money. But mm-hmm. when I thought about it, that, you know, they're actually buying the CD in advance. And by doing that, they're helping us make it.
Yeah.
And you know, really, I thought we'd get enough money to take the band out for lunch maybe one day. Really, really. But it was so extraordinary what happened. It was just beautiful.
Mm.
We were able to do everything from making the CD to manufacturing it to producing it to doing the PR. It was wonderful. Really a great thing.
How has the recording process evolved over the years since you first began?
You know, for me, it hasn't changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did start, the medium is different now. Now it's all digital and hard disk. We started out with analog tape, but that was already dying at that point. It moved on to like ADATs and then digital tape, and now it's just all hard drives. But the process is very much the same because we're pretty simple, you know. We record. It's a fairly simple process for us. It's not easy, but it's simple. you know, most of it's live, and there might be some overdubs, but basically it's a live experience mostly, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of overdubs, but there are some.
I've heard you say numerous times in past interviews that I've watched or listened to that it became clear to you earlier in your life that you needed to sing with groups of people. There was...
Well, yeah, because, you know, after Maharaji left his body, I was very depressed and I wasn't really doing much. I wasn't singing a lot. I was singing a little bit with some of the people from the old days in India, but it was more like rubbing salt in a wound for me. It wasn't a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1994, I was in my room in New York. I had an apartment in New York at the time. And, I was very depressed, very unhappy. My life wasn't going anywhere, and it was pretty horrible. And as I walked out of the bedroom into the living room, I was struck with this, like a lightning bolt.
Mm.
And it was very clear. It said, if I don't sing with people, I will never be able to clean out the dark corners of my own heart and the shadows from my own heart. And I knew that that's the only thing causing me suffering, that there was no suffering from the outside. It was all because of my own issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I understood that, you know, it was a question of whether I was going to get the program or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I did. You know, I basically decided I wanted to live and die, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's why I started singing, and that's why I sing every time I sit down.
Mm. When you finally began to chant before audiences, you started really with the chants that you'd learned them, but then somewhere along the way, you developed your own style. I'm not sure if that was intentional or not, but it's the unique sound.
There was no intention at all. I mean, I had no plan, you know. But the more and more I sung, and I think the more and more that the chanting opened me up and went more deeply into me,
mm-hmm.
The chants just started coming out in a more way that was natural to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really learn how to chant in India. I just started chanting with people who were chanting.
Yeah.
Nobody said this is the way to do it. So I just, you know, I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still doing it that way because there wasn't any reason not to. But the more time I started spending in the West, listening to Western music again, and, you know, things would just start to come through me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I sing what I like, you know? I mean, it's weird, but that's all I do. And I'm always amazed that other people like it too. But I'm not trying to please people, because that wouldn't be, if I was thinking like that, then this wouldn't be a spiritual practice.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, sometimes people listen to your music to heal maybe broken hearts. You're clearly singing to your guru, a great and deep devotion of love there. I'm wondering, as you've grown older in life, as we all do, we look back on our life, what are you learning, or what is your understanding now about love?
I think everybody wants not only to be loved, but also to love.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that love accepted. But I think the problem is that we all have bad aim, and we look outside ourselves for that love.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't exist outside of us. We use people to push buttons within us,
mm-hmm.
that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is you can't really depend on a person to push that button every time you want it pushed. So we have to find a way to contact that love directly within us. And it's not just love, it's peace of mind and inner strength and all the things that come when you're no longer feeling cut off from yourself. That naturally compassion starts to arise for people. You see people suffering and unhappy, and you begin to feel for them in a different way. It's not all about you all the time.
Mm-hmm. One of the songs on this new album, Kirtan Wala, which is out, came out about a year or so ago, I believe. You, over the years, have recorded numerous variations of Hanuman. Is it Chalisa? Kalisa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is a different version. It's called 4 a.m. And I'd like for you to speak about this because we want to cut to this song. This was a song I was actually dancing to earlier today. But I think it started where you literally woke up one morning at 4 a.m., right?
Actually, you know what? I think I realized it was 3 a.m.
It's too late to change the title.
Too late to change it, but whatever. Between 3 and 4 sometime, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I woke up, and I had been singing this in my dream, and so I recorded it right away and then went back to sleep. And then in the morning when I woke up, there it was, you know. It's pretty far out.
My guest today is Krishna Das, top Kirtan artist. We're inside the music with him. We want to go to another song off his newest album, Kirtan Wala. We'll have much more of the conversation. I'm Richard Brendan.
Shri Guru Charan Saroja Raja Jaman Mukur Sudhari Arno Raghubar Bimala Jasu Chodaya Palachari Buddhin Tanu Janike Sumiram Bhavan Kumar Siyaram Alabuddhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Arahu Kalesa Vikar Siyavara Rama Chanda Padaje Sharanam Jaya Hanuman Gyan Guna Sagar Ek Pis Tim Loka Ujjal Rama Duta Tulut Baladhama Anjani Putra Pavan Sutanam Mahavira Vikram Bhajarangi Mati Nevar Sumati Kesangi Kanchana Varana Viraj Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Om Namo Bhagavate Paramananda Naya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nanda Naya Om Namo Bhagavate Paramananda Naya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nanda Naya Atpajra Dvaja Viraja Kande Muja Jane Usaj Shankar Suvan Kesari Nandan Teja Pratap Mahajagabandan Vidyavan Guni Yat Chatur Namakaj Kari Beko Ad Prabhu Charit Suni Beko Rasiya Ramalakan Sita Manabasiya Om Namo Bhagavate Paramanandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Paramanandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nandanaya Sukshma Rupa Darsiya Hindika Kata Rupa Dar Lanka Jara Dhima Rupa Dar Asura Sangare Rama Chandra Ke Kaj Samvare Laya Sajeevana Lakan Jiyai Iragu Vira Harashi Uralai Raghupati Kini Bohat Barai Uma Mama Priya Bharatai Samabhai Om Namo Bhagavate Pavamanandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Pavamanandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nandanaya Sahasabadan Tumaroj Sagav Asakai Shri Patikanta Lagav Sanakadika Brahmadi Munisa Narada Sharada Sahita Isa Yamakubera Digapala Jahante Abhikobit Kai Sake Kahante Uma Upakara Sugreva Inkina Rama Milaya Raja Padavina Om Namo Bhagavate Paramananda Maya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nanda Maya Om Namo Bhagavate Paramananda Maya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nanda Maya Tumaro Mantra Vivishana Mana Lankeshwara Bhaya Sabha Jaga Jana Yuga Sahasra Jo Jana Parapana Ilyo Taima Dura Pala Jana
Rabumudri kamilim kumai, chala dilangi gai achara janai, durgamma kaj jagat ke jete, sugama anugra tumare tete. Om namo bhagavate, avamananda maya, om namo bhagavate, anjani nanda naya, om namo bhagavate, avamananda maya. Om namo bhagavate anjani nandana Ram duare tumara kavare utna agya bin pezare sab sukh lahe tumhari sharana mara chakka unko darna apan tej samaro aape tino lokank ten kaante utta prasashan kat nahi aave mahavir jab naam sunave om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani Se roga hare sab pira japat nirantar hanumat bir sankat te hanuman churave man kram bachan dhyan jo lave sab par ram tapasvi raja inke kaaj sakal tum saaj aur manorth jo ko lave sove amit jeevan pal paave om namo bhagavate namamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya charon yug pratap tumara he parsiddh jagat ujiyar sadhu sant ke tumara kovar asuran kandan ram dular Ashta Siddhi Noni Dikhe Data Savar Dina Janaki Mata Rama Rasayana Tumare Paasa Sadaro Ho Raghupati Ke Dasa Om Namo Bhagavate Avamanandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Anjani Nandanaya Om Namo Bhagavate Tumare bhajan Ram ko paave janam janam ke dukh bisarave ant kaal Raghubar pur jaye jahan janam hare bhakt kahaye aur devta chitan darai hanumat se sarv sukh kare sankat kate mite sab peera jo sumire hanumat balveera om namo bhagavate tavamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya om namo bhagavate tavamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya je hanuman gosai pakaro gurudev ki nai jo sat bar phat kar koi chute hi banni mahas koi jo yah par hanuman chalisa hoya siddhi sa ki garis tulsi das sada hari chera ki je nat hriday mahadera om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya bhavantanaya sankat harana mangala murti roop siyara ram lakan sita sahita hriday basa sura roop siyavar ram chand pad je sharanam mangala murti mart nandan sakala mangala mool nikanda mangala murti mart nandan sakala mangala mool nikanda om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya om namo bhagavate anjani nandanaya om namo bhagavate avamanandanaya
welcome back to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. We're inside the music today with Krishna Das. We're talking about his journey, his spiritual journey, but also his latest album, Kirtan Wala. You know, in a lot of your songs over the years, you sing about Jesus and Buddhism and other faiths. And I'm wondering, what can different, in your estimation, in your opinion, KD, what can different religious heritages learn from each other? Because as we look upon the news today, which I try not to do very often these days, especially what's going on with a lot of the terrorist groups in the Middle East, there's such a fraction between people. And yet, you know, many of us are wanting to raise consciousness that there is just that one God. You have sang about many gods in your music. What can you share with our listeners about that, what we can learn from one another?
Well, the reason that it comes out like that with me is that my guru used to say to us all the time that it's all one. Hmm. Many roads, many paths, but they all lead to the same goal.
Yeah.
He himself used to talk to us about Buddha and Jesus. So, and he had devotees from all religions, Muslims, Sikhs, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, he had people from everywhere. So he was very universal, and he just, it seems natural to me to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Every religion has its path. Every religion seems to come from a saint who had a revelation, you know, and then transmitted that revelation to people.
Yeah.
And then an organization grew up around that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like organizations very much in terms of religions. I don't think that they're very useful, and I think that people's lowest, they all seem to function at the lowest common denominator rather than the highest.
Yeah. And what do you think about a word that I think has been so overused, and I think people become confused by it, and that's the word enlightenment?
Well, it's confusing. Enlightenment essentially means freedom and liberation from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
The more you look into it, the more you can see that it's not so easy to be free of suffering, and that there are many levels of that suffering, and you might get relieved of some of it, but you still have the seeds of creating more for yourself in the future.
Yeah.
So it's a very deep subject. You know, Maharaji didn't really encourage us to think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked him how to find God, he said, serve people. When we asked him how to raise Kundalini, he said, feed people.
Hmm.
You know, he didn't encourage us to think about ourselves, and he never encouraged us to do practices for the sake of our own liberation. He said, don't think about yourself. He said, Jesus died the real death, the death of the ego. Why? Because he never thought about himself. He gave his life for his people. And he threw his body away because he didn't need it. He never thought about himself. That kind of stuff, you know, it kind of gets into you, and you start to realize how much of the time we spend just simply thinking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever religion, whatever practice you do, if it doesn't help you lighten up in regards to yourself and lighten up in regards to all your self-judgments and self-evaluating and comparisons to this one and that one, and then which then brings about greed for this or greed for that, or, you know, more and more selfishness. If it doesn't make you a better person, then it ain't working.
Yeah. If you were speaking to somebody who's never been exposed to any religious teaching, just an average person who's probably caught up in a crazy, busy lifestyle, if you had just one thing to say to that person, if they wanted to live a happier life, what would you say?
Slow what I would say, because that's the key to everything. We're moving so fast these days that we don't even, we've lost sight of ourselves completely. We're totally in dreamland all the time. But we have to slow down. Otherwise, there's no possibility of ever waking up, of ever developing the tools we need to be good human beings.
Kirtan, history was in the making when your album, Live Ananda, was nominated for the 2013 Grammy Award for Best New Age Album. Not only that, but you had also the occasion, I believe the first time a Kirtan artist has ever done that, performed live at the Grammys.
Yeah, I think so.
What was that like for you? And also talk about, this is your one opportunity to do this. You'll probably have more, but what song did you choose and why?
Well, actually, I didn't choose the song.
Oh, okay.
The guy who was producing the event, his wife was a yoga teacher. And so when he found out that I was nominated, he knew about me already because of that. So that's his favorite song was Narayana, you know, For Your Love, which is from Heart as White as the World, actually. It's not even from Live Ananda. But that's the song he asked me to sing on the broadcast. So I did. He was very sweet. They were all very nice to us. And it was certainly surreal to sit there and be... Because I'm used to singing to people who kind of have some idea what it's about, you know? And they sing, they'll do the call and response. But in this case, there was really nobody to respond, although there were a few people in the audience who were, you know, who were enjoying and but there I was sitting, you know, playing my little squeeze box in front of Chick Corea and Pat Metheny and like my heroes, musical heroes, and I'm thinking this is too funny, you know.
The twists and turns of the journey, right?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for sharing your time with us today. I want to thank you for the great music you continue to create. You've been a blessing in my life through your music, and it's blessed me today having you on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If you'd like more information on the work of Krishna Das, his web address is krishnadas.com, and that's where you can also purchase many of his albums and also the DVD copy of the movie that was made about his life. And now we go to our final Krishna Das song. It's actually a version of the song that he sang at the 2013 Grammy Awards.
Narayana, 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 Narayana. Oh,
you diamonds bright. Don't you think it would excite if I could dream of you at night?
Today's program, I want to thank Krishna Das for being my special guest today, and always thank you for joining me on these podcasts. I want to also thank my engineer, Kylan Talley, and production coordinator, Angel Richardson, for making this possible. You've been listening to Journey's Fire, inspiring the fire within you, one broadcast at a time.